welcome to our Core Volunteer Training Program, which is a program created to help our supporters, especially newer supporters and emerging group leaders, to connect with each other around the world and empower them to achieve their larger goals for climate advocacy. Tonight's topic is 7 steps to jumpstart your media work. And I am your host, Tamara Staton, CCL's Volunteer Education and Resilience Coordinator. I'm also the Regional Coordinator of the Greater Pacific Northwest Region. I'm really glad that you've joined us. We definitely can't do this work without you. And we know that there are so many other places you could be and things you could be doing. And instead, you're here with us, committed to climate action. So thank you. The media work that you do in your district and state can have powerful and far-reaching results for your climate advocacy. Tonight, we'll cover the basics of best practices for getting started, plus some ideas for ways that you could go further if you have some additional time, energy, or volunteers. So like I said, if you haven't had a chance to share where you're calling in from in the chat, bonus question, what you love about the fall, if you'd like to follow along with tonight's slides or reference them in the future, or check out our training on the same topic. So yeah, let me take a moment to introduce our state and local media coordinator, Charlotte Ward. She provides volunteers with support and training for local media outreach throughout the United States. Charlotte was born in England, as you will soon hear in her beautiful accent, where she graduated with a BA in journalism from Teesside University. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, Charlotte. She's a former Daily Mirror commissioning editor and has written for publications in the US, the UK, and Australia. Before joining the CCL team full-time, Charlotte volunteered for the Citizens Climate Lobby for 5 years and founded the Greenville, South Carolina chapter. She enjoys spending time exploring the mountains and coasts of the Carolinas with her husband and 2 children, as well as reading and gardening. We have 3 learning goals for you this evening. The first one is for us to cover why media work is so impactful and important. Second, we want to help make sure that you have inspiration for different actions and that can get you, that you can take to get started, And third, we're going to delve deeper into each action to give you further ideas for media outreach going forward. Before we kick it off, here's a quick look at our agenda for the evening. We'll briefly cover why media outreach makes a difference, give you a quick update on the messaging we're focusing on right now with our advocacy, and then we'll get to the main section of our training with 7 steps to jumpstart your media work, followed by a quick time for Q&A and to answer any questions that you may have. For those that are interested, we may have the opportunity towards the end of the presentation, towards the end of the program, to provide some opportunities for you to workshop and spend some time in breakout rooms or potentially just with the whole group, really working to get yourself closer to publication. So you'll find all the links for this training are in this link as well, right there. And with that, I'm gonna pass it to Charlotte.
Thanks, Tamara. Thank you everyone for being here. So my name is Charlotte, as Tamara said, and tonight I'm going to be giving you hopefully a really helpful overview of media work and how you can just get started, so how you can hit the ground running. So first of all, I wanted to ask you, why do you think media work is important? Maybe put that in the chat for me. Tell me what you think. So how can local media efforts help? We've covered some of the things there. You all had great ideas, but it reaches a wide audience. It gives authority. It can be executed quickly, which is great, especially when we see things changing all the time. Congressional offices pay attention to local media. Wherever you are, your member of Congress is the most important audience. So you're kind of writing for an audience of one when you're doing your media work. But as people also pointed out, it's a great way to educate your community. So the first thing I wanted to do is just talk about some messaging for our media work. So I know it's been a crazy time. We've been working really hard for the last couple of years, all through this Congress. And we've seen this big reconciliation package pass. But primarily, CCL advocates for a carbon fee and dividend. That's been our focus for a long time. That focus will continue. And there's wide consensus that a federal carbon fee would help lower emissions with the speed needed, and the revenue can be recycled back to Americans as a carbon cashback check. And since 2018, we've thrown our weight behind various versions of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. It's not yet clear whether this bill will be reintroduced as the lead sponsor is leaving Congress. We'll definitely provide more information as we have it, but we may see a different carbon fee and dividend bill, maybe a different name. So right now, we're really encouraging you to talk about carbon fee and dividend just as we move forward with our media work. And something else we can do with our media work is highlight how a border carbon adjustment mechanism would help with efforts to reduce emissions globally. We can encourage other countries to lower emissions by placing a CBAM on goods from countries whose products have a high carbon footprint. So the way I think about it is, you know, the IRA has passed. It will get us to hopefully about 40% emissions reduction by 2030. We have done the work at home, but we know that this is a global problem. We know that this work needs to happen everywhere. So a carbon fee and dividend helps us to keep that momentum going. It helps us to reduce emissions more. But adding this border adjustment also helps us to encourage other countries that if you want to do trade with us, then you also need to be lowering your emissions, otherwise you're going to pay. So that's just going to be really important as we try to keep that momentum going moving forward. And when we talk about the climate provisions from the Inflation Reduction Act, we can really talk about the benefits for people in our states to encourage additional climate action. So we want to see our states take everything they can from this bill, from the IRA, but we also want to say, look, how positive is this? As great things have come from solving the climate crisis, so let's just keep doing that. As election season sort of plays out over the next few weeks, we can keep encouraging candidates to prioritize climate in their campaigns. We've had a lot of success with this with our media work in the last few months, and we just want to get that message out there. Every candidate, what are you going to do about climate change? So keep sort of putting that message out in your media work. And we're expanding into other policy areas as we move forward. So you'll be hearing more about that at the December conference. So make sure you register for that. 7 steps to jumpstart your CCL media work. So we can get stuck into those. So step 1. You can allocate a media manager. So you're here tonight, you might want to be a media manager, or you might be a group leader who is swamped and wants a bit of help. So just have a think about who in your chapter might want to do this. Like, you might have someone who loves writing letters. Maybe you love writing letters. Maybe you love doing op-eds. So just have a think about that. It's something that you could do. It's something that someone else in your chapter could do. And when you have someone be a media manager, then they get put on a list that I send out an email probably about once a month. I don't spam you too much. It's not too bad. It looks something like this on the right-hand side of the screen. You'll just get this email, and it will tell you all about our new op-ed templates, press releases, editorial packets we might have, media outreach ideas, support calls. So it just keeps you updated on everything we have going on. So when you want to receive media manager resources, there's a few ways you can get it. You could ask your group leader to add you to the email. They can do that via their chapter roster, or they can email me if they're not quite sure how to do that. And group leaders automatically receive CCL's media outreach emails. So if you're a group leader, you will already be getting these emails. And the reason we do that is we just know that our group leaders are on it. They are digesting all the information. They are really great at getting people to do things. So we like them to be in the loop with media work. So you could go further. We have some resources on community as well that can help you to keep up to date with your media work. So one is the Writers Circle. This is a really nice place we have where people sometimes share their writing, they ask for feedback. We've just started this thing called coffee and catch-ups. So we're doing that every 2 weeks. That's something that you can come to on a Friday. It's 9 a.m. Pacific time, and it's about noon East Coast, so you can turn up with your second, third coffee and just talk to people. And we did the most recent one last week, and we had a great turnout, and everyone seemed to really enjoy just like talking about their media work. And then the other thing we have is the Media Relations Forum. So that is just an opportunity to, you can actually subscribe to the different forums and the different topics. So we have like LTE's topics, we have like general media work, and I every single week go on there, and as soon as I've updated timely topics to write letters about, I put them on that forum. So that is a really quick way, if you subscribe, to get the latest news on topics that you can write about. So step two is find and share letter writing opportunities. So why do you want to do this? You can achieve quick results when you mobilize volunteers in your chapter to write letters. It's an opportunity to steer the conversation towards talking points and solutions we wish to elevate. You can reach a wide audience in your community and help educate people about how the climate crisis impacts them and how it can be solved. So how do you find these opportunities and what are your next steps? So I would just suggest, first of all, just look in your local paper, and perhaps you can subscribe to your local paper. When you see something that's to do with climate or energy or any kind of policy that's somehow related to climate change or extreme weather, then you can quickly alert people in your chapter who are very keen on writing. You could email them, or you could even create a spreadsheet. I've seen some chapters do that. They let people subscribe to this spreadsheet, and then all the writers update it with things they've seen. So that's something you could do. You could also download the latest LTE topics. That's what I was just telling you about. Every single week, I go through the news and I update these topics with everything that's going on. So the really sadly, all the latest hurricanes, all the latest flooding, anything to do with policy, and I put it all in this document, and it's really there for you to find timely talking points which you may be able to apply to local news and concerns about climate change. So someone asked me, like, how do I relate that to my local media work, because obviously I want to focus on like local angles. And what I say is just read through the topics, because you might find like relevant points that you want to put into your letter. So you find local topics you can write about, or you know what your community cares about, and then your letter can include these talking points that I have there. Hopefully it just cuts down the workload for you having that information there. And the last thing you could do is you could host a letter writing Zoom party. So we have these once a month. They're on the second Tuesday of the month at 6:30 East Coast. We turn up on Zoom. We talk through ideas. We do a really super quick training on writing an LTE. It literally takes about 5 minutes. Then we give people 20 minutes focus time to write. So if you want to be inspired to write a letter and you need that kind of like time and someone saying, right, 20 minutes, write your letter, you need that kind of that focus, you get that in that session. So we love to welcome you to that and hear about what's going on where you live. You could also go further and consider a rural LTEs project. This is something I suggest for people who are really prolific in writing letters, and perhaps they've already written to all their local papers. So you could start by making a list of rural newspapers in your state, and then you could work with your state coordinator or a group leader to locate volunteers who might write. Or you could even write yourself. I've seen letters published where people live, like the other side of the state, but these local newspapers have published them. And I do think, like, moving forward, a lot of our work is going to be trying to educate about climate change in those rural kind of communities. They're the ones where perhaps people kind of think climate change is happening. They're not really sure what's causing it, or like how they suggest, or that what solutions there are. So I think like our work in those areas is really, really important. We can really help to kind of educate people on climate change. So step three is boost your visibility with bigger pieces like op-eds. So an op-ed is an opinion piece. It's written by a member of the community. It's a really great opportunity because you have a really long word count. So a letter to the editor is about 150 to perhaps 250 words, but an op-ed is 600 to 750 words, depending on the word count of your paper. It's just really a great opportunity to have your say, and you have a lot of words to have your say. So you can write about like why climate change is an important topic for your community. It gives you a chance to weave in like facts and figures or information about the impact of climate change in your state. And people across the political spectrum are influenced by op-eds. Their views can be altered by a persuasive op-ed. So if your paper seems to print these, I really recommend doing it. Some people are quite intimidated by the idea of it, and they say to me, but you know, I write an LTE, but I can't imagine an op-ed being printed. But I have seen a lot printed, and we are having a real success where I live in South Carolina with op-eds right now. We've tried really hard just to come up with new ideas like every month, and consistently we're getting them in the paper. So I really think it's worth trying. Okay, so when you're thinking about crafting an op-ed, it's great to weave in personal and local perspectives, plus why we need to act, the solutions available, and what more is needed, and make a call to action. So think about what your call of action is. Is it to go out and vote? Is it to call your elected official? Is it for your elected official to support policy? Like, always have that call to action in there. And consider working with local community voices who are trusted messengers where you live. They could make a case for the benefits of climate solutions for your city or state. So think about farmers or like local endorsers who have clout in the community. We also provide timely op-ed templates on CCL Community. So at the moment we have some about the IRA. One is kind of like a conservative focus. One is more for blue states. We have an election season op-ed, which we've still got time to get in the paper. And then we have a new one that we've just uploaded, which is about climate extremes. And we did that as a reaction to everything that's been happening with all these terrible hurricanes we've been seeing. And they're co-authored with Madeline, our executive director, and you can add your name on it. You can add in local impacts and you can submit it to a local paper. We also have writing guides. So check out all those resources on Community. So I also wanted to talk a little bit about the power of storytelling. So some of you may have seen there was an action in our October action sheet for volunteers, and it was suggesting that you kind of get very comfortable with telling your own climate stories. And this is because a recent report from the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication found that hearing about people's personal experience with climate impacts, such as extreme heat, flood, or drought, can help folks to change their minds. So this is like really interesting. Like, when you don't try to convince someone, you just talk from the heart about like your experience or experience of someone close to you, like that has impact. So can you write about something heartfelt about the climate impacts you've experienced or of someone you know? It can help to move people to be more favorable to climate action or solutions like carbon fee and dividend. So that picture I forgot to mention is actually my kids in London, and that is during the summer heat wave, where it was, I think it was 100.4 Fahrenheit, which is unheard of in England. I can tell you from growing up in the UK that just does not happen. So, and we happened to be there visiting my family just as this heat wave hit. So this is a picture of my kids having great fun in London, like paddling in a fountain to try and stay cool. But it was a whole different story when we had to try and get them to bed in the evening because there's no air conditioning. We've never needed it. And the room was just so hot. They had to strip their pajamas off. We had to like put ice blocks in front of fans, and it still didn't cool the room down. So that was kind of my most recent climate story that I'm actually kind of writing in an op-ed that I want to submit. So just about that experience of like how uncomfortable it was for my children, who were like nearly crying at 11:30 at night because they couldn't get to sleep because they were just so hot. So just have a think while we're like going through this training, like what's your climate story? And you're very welcome to quickly put that in the chat for me if there's something that comes to mind. I'd love to hear. So this, while you're doing that, this is an example of a climate story that I did get published. So I have a background as a journalist, so I think I'm always thinking about these things, like, you know, and I feel things very deeply. I know there's other people like me who have a very like emotional reaction to climate change. So this was something that I've been sort of thinking about for a long time, like all the different places I've lived or visited. And I've kind of traveled a lot with, I grew up in the UK, but my dad is from Australia. Like my husband is a doctor and trained like all over the US. So we ended up living in a few different places before in South Carolina. And there's just been this reoccurring theme of these places that mean so much to me that I love and how they have been impacted by climate change. And it is a real source of sorrow for me to think about how much I love these places and how much I want my children to see them. And I just don't know like whether they will stay the same in their lifetimes or even in, you know, the next few years as they sort of go from being 4 and 7 years old to adults. So I just decided like, I'm gonna write this. And I encourage you all to do that. Whenever you feel like these things deeply, just write them. It's very cathartic and you might have a really good op-ed. So I just decided to do that. I wrote down how I felt about this. I submitted it to a paper in South Carolina and it got published. And so that was really, really great for me to like have that published and have a whole page. And so I started off talking about that stuff, but then I pivoted to South Carolina and the issues we have here with floodings and hurricanes. And I talked about, you know, how much we love South Carolina and how we want to keep these beautiful natural resources and have our residents be safe. So just kind of bear that in mind. Okay, so you could also go a bit further if you have the time. You could call the opinion page editor of the paper where you live. And don't be scared to do this. It seems like a big deal to call like one of the editors on a paper, but you're actually doing them a favor by doing that. If you're asking them what sort of content they're looking for and you're calling with some interesting suggestions for them. So this is something that I do a lot with the opinion editor on the paper where I am. I will call her. The first thing I will always say is, do you just have 5 minutes to talk? And she will say yes, or she'll say no, call me back tomorrow. Then if she can talk, I will just like sound her out on some ideas I have. So I'll say like, would you be interested in an op-ed from a farmer talking about how his crops are affected by extreme weather because of climate change? Or would you be interested in a doctor talking about the effects of climate change on children in South Carolina? So the heat, how it affects them, like asthma, things like that. And I've always had really positive feedback and she's kind of told me exactly what she wants and what she's looking for. So I would really encourage you to do that if you can. Just think about what interesting stories and perspectives you can pitch. And also think about, again, who are your trusted messengers? And maybe you could even get them to join together to make a statement on climate. And then that could be something that prompts an op-ed. So we're kind of doing this in South Carolina at the moment. We're thinking about trying to get health officials to say that climate change needs to be solved. And the reason we're doing this is because there was a report that came out recently that said 700 hospitals on the East Coast are potentially at risk from hurricane flooding. So I looked up how many there were in South Carolina from that report, and I think there were about 17. So that's quite scary to think that like 17 hospitals on the coast could really be impacted by hurricanes, and we are at high risk of hurricanes. So this is one thing that we're going to talk about in this statement, where we get healthcare workers to sort of talk about like why climate change is an issue, why it needs to be solved, why elected officials need to step up and solve it. So our plan is to do the statement and then to create an op-ed, and then when you have like more than one person for the op-ed, so say you have like seven doctors or seven nurse practitioners who all sign on for this op-ed, then it gives it kind of authority. So then you're more likely to get it published. So just think about that, like who would have weight in your state and how could you kind of activate them to do an op-ed, and maybe you can work with them. You could ghostwrite it or you could help them to shape it. So step four is link up with your liaison. So your chapter liaison is the person who speaks regularly with your local congressional office. So they are the ones who are like setting up the lobby meetings. They're like keeping the communication going with the offices, the energy aides, and they are really good sources of information about what key things your member of Congress is thinking about. So they know what their key issues are. Sometimes in lobby meetings, they'll mention like big companies in your state that they have concerns about making sure that they do well, or they give you little tidbits in those meetings that these liaisons are like picking up on and they're making notes on. Now, all this is interesting information for you when you're thinking about how you influence your member of Congress with your media work, because once you have that like insider knowledge, you can actually choose like the best talking points to cover in your letters and op-eds. So you're making an even more convincing case to your member of Congress of how you can connect the issues that they care about with climate change. So when you want to get that insider lowdown, you could ask a group leader to connect you with liaisons in your chapter, and then you could just ask them for a phone call or a meeting and just get them to kind of give you the rundown of the issues and local industries that local members of Congress seem most concerned about. And you can tailor your letters and op-eds to feature insight on those issues, thinking about that audience, that member of Congress, and discuss the most convincing case for climate solutions in your district, city or state. So here we've just had BMW say they're going to invest $1.7 billion in production of electric vehicles in South Carolina. So that's like, it's going to be really interesting at our next lobby meeting to see how our member of Congress like talks about that. And we're already thinking like, how can we kind of influence them through op-eds? Like, how can we make that connection for them? So you can go further, share your success with Congress. So if your letter or op-ed is published, ask the relevant chapter liaison to pass your success onto their contacts in congressional offices. So you can do that by going to cclusa.org/write. That's our website where you can easily write to your member of Congress. You could cut and paste your published piece into that message and just say, I'm writing to you to let you know that climate change is a priority issue for me. This is the solution I want to see. And this is my article that just got published. And something I actually suggested to someone recently, they'd written an LTE and I said, why don't you slightly tweak it and send it as a letter to your member of Congress as well? Because you've written all the reasons that you care, you may as well just repackage it. So just think about that too, like how your media work, you can use it in multiple ways. So step five is make the news. You want to do this because earned media is increasingly important. We're sort of seeing this trend of newspapers throughout the country that they are cutting back on their opinion pages. So they might decide not to print letters to the editor every day. They might only print them once a week, or they might be sort of trimming their opinion pages so they don't print as many opinion pieces. And you can combat that by having a really good relationship with your with opinion editors. But you also want to kind of think more broadly, like what other media work can you do? So if you're not going to get the coverage that you used to get with LTEs and opinion pieces, then think about earned media. So that's media where you have kind of made the sell to a journalist at the newspaper. That could be via a press release or meeting with them or like sending them a direct message on Twitter, but you pitched a story to them basically. It's not your opinion like it would be with an LTE or an op-ed. This is where you're pitching an idea to a journalist who would take that and expand on it. So being covered in a newspaper article, or even on local TV or radio, spreads the word about your chapter's work and climate solutions. It's a great way to reach new potential volunteers, and it attracts the attention of your member of Congress again. So when you're navigating that kind of local media landscape, you can do a bit of research. So just kind of keep an eye out for which journalists cover climate or conservation stories in your area. Pay attention to the local reporters writing about these topics, and you could gather their emails and phone numbers from the staff and contact website pages of news outlets. You could create a spreadsheet of your local media list with contact information for local journalists. And you could also watch our generating news coverage training in the media relations section of CCL Community. So we do kind of go more in depth in that training. So you could go further, as I said, you could tweet a journalist. So most local journalists are on Twitter. Like, Twitter is just a really good place for journalists to be for breaking news. Like, you see things really quickly there. So they are on Twitter like all the time, seeing what is going on. And they share their own stories, they interact with people. So it's kind of canny to actually go on Twitter, follow a load of journalists, and then interact with them. So if you like their story, if they write about climate change and the environment, then tweet them and thank them. You know, they will appreciate that. And then think about, like, perhaps reaching out to a journalist, like, will they agree to a Zoom call or meet for a coffee? You have an interesting story. You're someone who is advocating for climate solutions at a time when climate change is showing us what an issue it is. So your local advocacy, the fact that you meet with members of Congress, the fact that you have people with interesting stories in your chapter, that is all very newsworthy. So reach out to journalists, tell them what you do, and ask them for 5 minutes or 15 minutes. It could be on the phone, it could be for a coffee. And you can really pitch yourself as a trusted resource on climate. I kind of try to think like this when I'm interacting with journalists in South Carolina. Sometimes I will just, if I've seen something of interest, I will just send it to a journalist to be helpful, like almost give them a tip. It's not always about my work. It could be about other climate work, but I've kind of setting myself up to be a useful resource for these journalists. And that's what you want to do. You want to be useful to them and help them and nurture those contacts. So when big news happens, then they can turn to you. They know that you are knowledgeable on this topic. Step six is aim for an editorial. So editorials are different from op-eds. So the editorial is the official view or stance of the newspaper. They're written by an independent editorial board. So they're kind of separate from the journalists on the paper who are seeking the news. Like, the editorial board, they're sitting down, they're discussing topics, and they're deciding which topics the newspaper is going to make a stance on. They're influential and they cover important topics. So it really is amazing if we can ever get a editorial about our work or endorsing something that we are pushing for, like a carbon fee and dividend, because it sends a message that it's really important to the paper. So that sends a message that it's important to the community. It also is important to members of Congress to see what the paper is doing, because members of Congress rely at election time on endorsements from newspapers. So they are watching and paying attention when newspapers do this. So having an editorial meeting is a great thing to do. And if it leads to an editorial, then that's really impactful. So the first thing you would do is try to work out if there's an editorial board on your paper. You can check to see if your local paper has it listed on their website. If you can't see it, then you could just call the switchboard and ask them. And if they don't have an editorial board, then you can just kind of go back to focus on placing articles, TV segments, radio stories via press releases, or pitching a story directly. And we have detailed trainings on CCL Community for all of these, as well as press releases you can adapt. So if you have news for your chapter, then have a look on Community. So you can prepare for editorial board meetings. We're going through this time where we're kind of watching and seeing what happens with the election, but there will be a time when we at CCL will be saying, please go reach out and try to get editorial board meetings. So If you have some time, you could get ready for that moment. You could get familiar with the process. You could check out our more detailed training on community. You could read the editorial packet we have up on community. And if you have an idea to approach a newspaper and you need some help, well, my colleague Steve is there to help you, and his email address is right there. So drop him an email, tell him which paper you want to meet with, and he will be happy to jump on Zoom or offer you any help over email. So step 7 is get social. So if you have a success, social media is a great way to amplify that. It's a free megaphone to highlight your work, congratulate a volunteer, and thank a news outlet. And you can tag your member of Congress. So this is actually my co-leader in Greenville, South Carolina, and he was printed in the Greenville News. And this was the first time he was printed, so he was really, really happy. So we got him to hold up his article, we took a picture, and we put it on social media. And it got a lot of likes. And the great thing about this picture is it's got a real person in it. You know, like when you have those pictures on social media of, you know, a volunteer with their media success, then it's going to get more traction. So whenever you can put people in those pictures, always try to do that. And if you do have a success and you have a social media team in your chapter, then you can work with them to broadcast that success, and you can make sure that they kind of pump it out to all the different social media pages. They might have Facebook, Instagram, all the different ones, Twitter. Think about the different visual ways you can package your content, so you can get creative and, as I said, use pictures because you'll get more engagement. And always tag your member of Congress, tell them what you want and tell them that you care. And hopefully when everyone retweets it, then they will pay attention. And you can go further, you can mobilize your chapter to help. So this is an example from our very, very active Utah chapter in Salt Lake City. Every time they have a success, they do this, they send out a call to action to their whole chapter to retweet and to like and to do all the things to get those algorithms going so that social media pushes it out everywhere. So you could do something similar, and hopefully that will give really good visibility to your posts.
Okay, Charlotte, that is awesome. So much. In the future, at the end of each training, you can also do it with the big green button that you see on the screen in the traditional trainings. You can just click log your training. You can also, in the interactive trainings where you see that big green arrow, you can just click on the log your training button. And then you can also go through the action tracker to log your training as well. You just click on the chapter development, chapter and volunteer development box there. And if you click one more time, Isa, then you can show them. What ends up happening is you will come to the training section and you just type the first 4 letters or so of the name of the training, and you can just select that for your training. And with that, I just want to say thank you to everyone who's here, as well as especially Charlotte, for putting all of the effort into sharing this excellent information with us and the links and the resources. There are so many opportunities. I know it can really feel overwhelming with all of the trainings that we have and all of the information, but just that's part of the goal of this training, is to just help you see that they're just, if you take it step by step, it's like climbing a mountain. You can't get to the top if you're overwhelmed by the fact that there are 1,276 steps or more. But if you just take it one step at a time, there's only 7 steps to jumpstart your media. So just one step at a time. And there are just excellent resources if you're the kind of person that would like to do all things online. Well, we've got lots of options. And if you like to get direct help from people, we also have people as well. So community.citizensclimate.org/forums is a great place to ask a question. And until then, have a wonderful week. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration.
Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well.
And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.